Let's look at the four areas: physical, social, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Give me a couple ideas of what to do to sharpen the saw physically. Exercise is one. Give me one more. Sleep, yeah. Eat right. Okay, how about social, emotional? How can you sharpen the saw socially, emotionally? Associating with others, get out. Yeah. Date night, service projects, okay. How about mentally? Reading is a good one. Video games. Time with a mentor, good. How about spiritually? Meditating, journal writing, camping. Some people attending your church, it could be music, there are all kinds of things. But it's important to identify in those four areas something you can do to sharpen your saw. And it's really rewarding to do it. This is where you get some of the most satisfaction, is when you work in these areas and sharpen the saw. Well, as we look at all of the roles and responsibilities and the goals that we have set that come from our values, it's hard to now create some balance around all of that if we just focus on tomorrow. We need to step back from that and focus on the week. A few of the key benefits of weekly planning: this is where we create balance. That is probably the absolute key benefit, is creating balance in our lives. Because if we can look at a week's time, 7 days, and start plugging in some things, that's where we can create balance. But it also guarantees us some regular renewal. When you're dealing with sharpen the saw, you nurture relationships. When you think about those roles and those key relationships, you start to nurture those, and it ensures a focus on highest priorities. This is a 20-minute, 30-minute process to be done once a week.
Do you know what I have found about planning weekly? If you don't do it, you're going to manage your life by crisis. I'm serious. I've seen people attempt to plan daily using some of the ideas and principles we're talking about, but the very nature of that short term will drive a quadrant one crisis mentality, and even a quadrant three mentality, because you start to have other people's definitions of what's important eclipse yours. And you get sucked up into a culture that really is urgent, it's pressing, it's popular, it's proximate. But on reflection, it is not important. Be careful of daily planning. The shortest unit of planning for wisdom and for balance, I suggest, should be a week, and that inside the larger context of long-term goals and values. Then, plan daily, because you have to adapt. All kinds of things will happen during that week you couldn't have possibly anticipated. You'll have blindsiding events, negative events, positive events. Crises, other things will arise. You have to adapt to it. You know that. And that's where the planning of daily has its place. You adapt. You exercise integrity in the moment of choice. That is, you listen to your conscience, to an educated conscience. Educated by what? By your value system. By your carefully thought through value system. And you consult it. And you listen basically to the voice of your conscience to tell you, okay, today, these are the changes I'm going to make. These are the adaptations I'm going to make to my weekly. Here are the new things that have come in. I'm going to be at peace because I'm going to ignore these things that are guilt-tripping me that I'll have to deal with later because more important things have intruded. I must adapt to that. I focused heavily on the importance of planning weekly so you get out of crisis management. But the reality of life is that things come upon us that we can't anticipate that require us to actually change and adapt on a daily basis, sometimes even on an hourly basis. That's fine. If you have deeply internalized the principles contained in your value system and your purpose, you can have the conscience inside yourself to help you make those decisions in the very moment of choice. You don't have to feel guilty because you're not following some longer-term plan, because you are adapting to a more important thing that has arisen. It may be a major crisis, some other setback. Don't worry about it. Smile. Plan daily within the context of your larger philosophy, your larger value system, so that you can accommodate the realistic changes that constantly come upon us day by day. But you know what will happen? Little by little over time, if you plan weekly, you'll find yourself not having to make as many changes on a daily basis as you thought you would, simply because the spirit of preparation has usurped, it has suppressed or subordinated the constant tendency to see everything as a crisis. Integrity in the moment of choice means you guide yourself by your conscience in the very moment of choice, and then be at peace about the decision you make without any regrets. And if there's something you have forgotten, you can pick that up at a later time. Even if it was something very important, it's not as important as something that has come up right then in that very moment.
Quadrant two, the important things. Where might some of those come from? Roles, relationships, values, the goals. All those things feed into and helping in this second step of choosing the big rocks. Which ones am I going to focus on this week? And so traditionally, well, and let me just also make this point. Asking the question as you fill out that compass card and make those selections, after you've reviewed your roles and now you're going to choose the big rocks, what is the most important thing I can do in this role this week? Just this week, but what's the most important thing I can do in this role this week? That helps me choose the big rocks I'm going to focus on from these relationships. And so in this case, as I look at sharpen the saw, in relationship with spouse and team leader, these are some of the things that I may choose to make sure that this week I'm going to focus on. So under physical, exercise or yoga 3 times, social, emotional, dinner with Josh and Marie, mental, read professional journal, spiritual, spend time at the river, spouse, plan a weekend getaway, team leader, schedule a team meeting, recognize team contributions. Traditionally then, we have typically scheduled by first letting days fill up and then thinking about those things from quadrant two. And so they don't fit in. And we keep saying, someday when I get some more time, it's not a matter of more time. It's a matter of making the time, because we're not going to get the more time. So when we go to this weekly scheduling, it's taking a look at the week, and before the days start to fill up, putting in those big rocks. And some of those big rocks might be quadrant one. But these are the things that have surfaced up from our values, from our goals, from looking at roles and filling out the compass card, and now scheduling the week, which is step three of the weekly planning process. So let's review the roles, choose the big rocks that I'm going to spend some time on this week, and then schedule the week. First by getting the big rocks in. Then filling in, and we'll get to daily planning in a minute. You'll see then how the compass leads you into the week. When it comes to scheduling the week, you'll see that some of those things from the compass card become appointments. That's a possibility. And they'll go over onto the daily pages. Some of them become a task, something you're going to do. Some of it may be just an area of focus. So it wouldn't translate onto a daily page, but it's on that compass card. Be a better listener with my children. Might be a good one. Be more patient with my children. And that just stays in front of me every day as I move that compass card. Once again, then, it is time for a commitment. Let's go back to today's page in your planner. And here is commitment number 3. I will plan weekly for the next 21 days. I will plan weekly for the next 21 days. So that's really not 21 days of doing it. That's really only 3 times. Once each week. Now we'll go to the peak of the pyramid, plan daily. This is the culmination of everything we've done so far around the productivity pyramid. We have talked about identifying and clarifying our values. From that, where it fits, writing out some goals with deadlines, breaking those down into intermediate steps. As we move into Plan Weekly, we talked about looking at our roles and the relationships that we have in those roles, using Compass Card to identify some of those that we're going to spend time on this week, selecting those big rocks, planning weekly. So we already have Quadrant 2 things in our plan. Now I get to the day. It's time to do some daily planning. At this point, I am going to look at what's already there, which was done in the weekly planning, and then look at the rest of my day. And I'm going to spend time, just a few minutes each day, at the beginning of the day, then defining what else will happen today. There are three steps in the daily planning process. First, check today's appointments. Why would you look at any appointments already scheduled for today? Well, one is because you want to be there, or maybe not. The appointments are already committed time, so you have to subtract that out of the equation. Sometimes it means just backing up a few minutes because you have to get there. So first, check the appointments. Second, make a realistic list. Now, here's the key to a realistic list. We will be tempted every day in doing our daily planning to make a list of everything we can think of. It's called a to-do list. How many of you have ever done a to-do list? Yeah, see, a good thing about a to-do list is you can make it out on Monday and it's still good on Friday, right? And what do you do when you accomplish something from your list? You cross it off. Why do you cross it off? It feels good. That's exactly right. See, we don't put little tiny check marks next to things just because they're done. Man, when we get something done, we take a big marker and kill it off the list. So look at this one. It's done. We cross it off and go, whoosh. Oh, man, there is this feeling that rushes through us when we accomplish stuff. Do you know that's a biological response to accomplishment? When we accomplish something, our brain releases a hormone that just rushes through the body. It's called endorphins. Endorphins are great. They feel wonderful. It's the purest form of morphine available. It's legal. It's a natural high. And we can get that high by accomplishing stuff. Now, if you don't believe that you cross it off because you want the rush, let me ask you this. What do you do when you accomplish something and you go to your list to cross it off and it's not on the list? You write it down so you can cross it off, right? Yeah, because we don't want to get cheated out of the whoosh of that good feeling. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay with that. If you deserve it, you should get it. And besides, if you don't write it down and cross it off, you have no record that that's what you did with your time. And it's good to have history. My problem with a to-do list, and this isn't true for everyone, but my problem typically with a to-do list is that a to-do list is things we need to do just to keep our nose above the water. It is a survival list. And it's too big. And high priority things rarely get on it. Now with the weekly planning, we've already changed the first part of that. High priority things are already there. But now when I do my daily planning and I look at where I've committed my time, I look at the big rocks, now I make a realistic list, and that is just for today. And the idea is not to fill the day. If I have 3 hours of meetings in an 8-hour day, work day, that means I have 5 hours left. You don't want a list that'll take you 5 hours to complete. Here's the rule of thumb. Never plan for more than 65% of your available time. Never plan for more than 65% of your available time. And that's the maximum. For people in high response jobs, when I think of client service coordinators, your list would probably be even less time because you know that more than 50% of your time is responding. So make a realistic list. The last step then is to prioritize the list. So once you've created the list, you want to give it some priority, and that is giving it value and order. The value is by giving everything on the list an A, a B, or a C. The order then is to sequence everything with a 1, a 2, or a 3. So when we talk about A, B, C, we're talking about how important is it for today. Not how important is it overall, but for me to do today, if it's an A importance, I'm saying it's high importance, B is medium, C is low. That's the distinction you want to make. Do this very quickly, but don't give everything an A. If everything is an A, nothing's an A. And what I'm suggesting by that is if you give everything an A, you're saying, I really haven't made a distinction. And typically, fewer things are A's than they are B's. B's is where you'll spend the most of the day, but there are usually a few A's that are the higher priority, that are the biggest payoff, the biggest return on investment. So give everything an A, a B, or a C. Then you go back and look at the A's, and you sequence them 1, 2, or 3, or 4 by the order in which you plan to do them. So A1, A2, A3, A4. You go to the B's, B1, B2, B3. Same with the C's, C1, C2, C3. And you number them in the sequence you plan to do them. So when do you do your daily planning? Morning or evening? It's up to you. What works best? I will do either depending on my day. When I'm teaching, I usually do it in the evening before because I know I've got an early morning and to get set up. Days that I'm in the office, I'll do it once I hit the office. Again, someplace quiet, it'll take you 5 to 10 minutes to do. Commitment number 4, last one and then we'll break. I'll plan daily for the next 21 days. So for the next 21 days, plan daily. And here's probably the one thing you want to remember in this process. Creating the list is one thing, doing it is another. Anthony Robbins, in his book Unlimited Power, said that power is the ability to act. So it's the ability to act on that list, but you've given it value with the A's and the B's and the C's, based on how important it is, and you've sequenced those items. And you know that new things are going to pop up during the day. Interruptions are going to occur, clients are going to call, somebody's going to need something, email's going to come in. You'll have distractions, or what I would call, if you consider your daily plan a roadmap for the day, you'll have detours to take. You ever been on a detour? So you know what that's like. Has anybody ever been on a detour when you get out there were no more signs to bring you back? Yeah. And that's worse for guys because we keep driving, you know. It's a genetic flaw. We will not ask for directions. But a plan is like a map, and it brings you back if you take a detour. You are going to have detours. Many of you get paid to take detours. But the key is having a plan to refocus you, because if there's no plan, it'll take you longer to recover from the detour than it will take you to handle it. Once there's a plan in place, the recovery is much quicker. But you know what the worst problem is? The worst problem has nothing to do with other people. It has everything to do with you or me. And it goes like this. You create this list for the day. You're all excited. You look at A1 and say, oh man, that sucker's going to take an hour. Let me just peek at A2. Oh, I don't think so. Let me peek at A3. Now this takes you about 3 seconds and you're down to C12, call Scott, play tennis. And so I pick up the phone, dial up Scott. Hey, Scotty, what's happening? You want to play a little tennis? Yeah, I can't play this week. How about next Friday? Good, bye, see you then. Click, first check for the day. The whole day goes like that. And at the end of the day, what's left on your list? A1, A2, A3. Those things that you said were your highest priority, you blew it off for something fun, fast, or friendly. Easiest first. Oh, it's a trap. It's a great trap. It feels good at times, but it is a trap. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this. He said, in the world, it is easy to live after the world's opinions, and in solitude, it is easy to live after one's own. But the great one is he who, in the midst of a crowd, can keep with a perfect sweetness the independence of solitude. Now there's some magic in those words, and the magic occurs when in the independence of solitude you create that plan that represents the big rocks, that's driven by your values, your roles, your goals. And then when you get into the midst of the day, the rush of the day, the chaos, you have the courage to make the plan happen the way you said it should happen. Not easiest first, important first. And when you can make that shift from easiest first to important first, that's when you'll really have a credible claim to these feelings you have talked about before of peace and control. But it's the discipline to do it after you've created it. As you think about the productivity pyramid, some things to implement. You've already put some of those in your planner: values, roles, goals. So some of those things you have the background, the base set up. But it's the weekly planning and the daily planning, which we haven't done here. But as you begin to implement now over the next 3 weeks, you'll start to see how that can be beneficial. From Harvard Business Review article, Beware the Busy Manager, 90% of managers are typically either distracted or disengaged from key organizational objectives, confusing frenetic motion with constructive action. I used to have, in one organization where I worked, my office was in a grouping, and the executive vice president of human resources was in that same wing. And his office was a disaster. Now, an earlier version of this course, when I was teaching it at that time, had a whole section on cleaning up the clutter in your office. And so, of course, since I was teaching it, I had to have a somewhat clutter-free office. And I did, and it was really helping. But this guy would walk by, the executive vice president of human resources, and because I would only have one thing out on my desk in front of me at a time, what I was working on, and he didn't see it real cluttered, he'd say, "Look busy, would you?" And he wasn't joking around. For him, I didn't look like I was being very effective and productive. And so it's an interesting paradigm people have of what is busy. But then when you listen in on this, you see a whole different thing.
This is the end of the second CD. Please insert the third CD to continue the program.